word for word. Saha, He, Devadeva, the Supreme Lord of the Lords. Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead. Pratikshitam, may kindly wait. Kalevaram, body. Yavat, as long as. Idam, this material body. Hinomi, may quit. Aham, I. Prasanna, cheerful. Hasa, smiling. Arunalochana, eyes red like the morning sun. Ulasat, beautifully decorated. Mukha Ambuja, the lotus flower of his face. Dhyanapataha, in the path of my meditation. Chatur Bhujaha, the four-handed form of Narayan. The worshipable deity of Bhishma Dev. Translation. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face, with eyes as red as the rising sun, is smiling, kindly await me at that moment when I quit this material body. Please repeat. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face, with eyes as red as the rising sun, is smiling, kindly await me at that moment when I quit this material body. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bhishma Dev knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayan. His worshipable deity was four-handed Narayan, but he knew that four-handed Narayan is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayan. A Vaishnava is always humble in his behavior, although it was 100% certain that Bhishma Dev was approaching Vaikuntha Dham just after leaving his material body. Still, as a humble Vaishnava, he desired to see the beautiful face of the Lord, for after quitting the present body, he might not be in a position to see the Lord anymore. A Vaishnava is not puffed up, although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode. Here Bhishma Dev says, As long as I do not quit this body. This means that the great general would quit the body by his own will. He was not being forced by the laws of nature. He was so powerful that he could stay in his body as long as he desired. He got this benediction from his father. He desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan feature so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be entranced in that meditation. Then his mind might be sanctified with thinking of the Lord. Thus he did not mind wherever he might go. A pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to the kingdom of God. He entirely depends on the goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. The only desire that a pure devotee entertains is that he may always be in rapt attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. Bhishma Dev wanted this much only, that his mind be absorbed in thinking of the Lord and that he pass away thus. That is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Tamyandasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmilita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So, verse one more time. Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshitam Kalevaram Yavaridam Himon Hinom Yaham Prasana Hasa Runalochanalasan Mukham Bujodhyana Patashatur Bujaha. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face, with eyes as red as the rising sun, is smiling. Kindly await me at that moment when I quit this material body. So, before I go on to speak, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Glorification of the previous acharyas and Srimad Bhagavatam. And generally, it's actually transgressing proper etiquette if you speak in front of senior devotees. But I was ordered to do so, so this is my humble attempt to say something useful. Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya considers Advaita Acharya on the same level as of his spiritual master. It's because Madhavendra Puri is Sri Advaita Acharya's spiritual master, and Advaita Acharya's godbrother is Ishvara Puri, who is the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should see one's spiritual master's godbrothers as good as his spiritual master. So please forgive my impudence, I'm trying to speak in front of the seniors, but trying to follow orders here. So Bhishma Dev, he's considered one out of the 12 Mahajans. And Maha means great, just like we say Maharaj, literally means the great king, someone who's mastered his mind and his senses, conquered his mind. And every morning, Mahajan, Jana means people. We say Gopi Jana Vallabha, it means, you know, Krishna's the supreme lover of the Gopi Jana, of the people of Vrindavan. So we should actually try to meditate on the words that we're singing in the morning prayers. You know, try to understand the Sanskrit. It deepens our attentiveness and our absorption. So yeah, Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans, one of 12 Mahajans. And it's recommended throughout the Shastra that one follow spiritual authority. You know, trying to, if we have this thought of independence, that we don't need anyone to tell us how to direct our life, and that we can simply, we're so proud that we think we know what's best, instead of getting guidance from a spiritual authority in every step of our life, that's actually the safe position. But we can see people who become independent, they fall into Maya. It's actually a trick from Maya, where they're giving power of eternity to the mind, which for so many lifetimes has bound one to this material world, instead of giving power of eternity to spiritual authority. So the reason why I'm saying this is Bhishma Dev is one of these great spiritual authorities. He's a guiding light for all of us to, you know, follow the example of, to hear attentively the instruction of these Mahajans. Now, out of the name of devotional service, a neophyte devotee will try to still play the role of God, although supposedly engaging in devotional service. And we want to be the best class giver, the best book distributor. We want to be recognized. This is actually not being the servant. It's trying to be God. But our philosophy is to be the servant of the servant. So, hearing attentively Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting attentively the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are the first stages of actually developing true humility and purifying our heart to bring us to our original constitutional position. So, the reason why I'm saying this is this actually can bring us to a point where we're actually attaining these high realizations that Bhishma Dev is describing. And Bhishma Dev was directly seeing Krishna on the battlefield. So the pure devotee can actually see Krishna face to face, or even if he's not seeing Krishna face to face at every moment, he's experiencing not just a higher taste, but he's directly experiencing Krishna. And I think it was, who was it? Yeah, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He is explaining in one of the verses in the 11th canto, where King Nimi is inquiring from the 9 yogindras, and he describes that a pure devotee doesn't mean that he's seeing Krishna face to face at every moment. That doesn't make him qualified as an Uttama Adhikari. Otherwise, you know, like devotees like Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, Goswami, Narada Muni, this would consider them on a platform under the stage of Uttama Adhikari, but this is actually not the case. He says that an Uttama Adhikari is one who's qualified to see Krishna and every moment is desiring intensely to see Krishna. Just like it says in the Shad Goswami Ashtaka, that six Goswamis are always intensely worshipping Sri Radha, Krishna, and Vrindavan. So that's what makes an Uttama Adhikari. But we can see that in this particular pastime of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma Dev is actually seeing Krishna face to face, as well as some of the previous people I just mentioned, like Shukadeva Goswami was there, Vyasadeva was there, Parvat Muni, Narada Muni. They all came to the side of Bhishma Dev when he was leaving the planet to hear pure Krishna Katha. So if these great saintly people who are already on a completely purified platform are coming to hear Krishna Katha, how much more should we be attentive when we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? The tendency is, you know, we're hearing the same philosophy day after day. You know, when are we going to hear something new? And we hear that we're not the body. We hear, you know, this is like just basic philosophy Prabhupada's explaining in the purport. So, but the difference between a neophyte devotee and a pure devotee is that a neophyte devotee will engage in sadhana bhakti for his own purification, whereas a pure devotee is actually relishing at every single moment, you know, hearing and chanting, is relishing his Krishna conscious lifestyle. So to actually reach that stage, we have to first hear and chant attemptively as a matter of duty, because we can't just jump up to the stage of spontaneous love at prematurely. We have to first follow our duty attentively, strictly, and automatically by doing that, Krishna reveals himself to us. That's actually one of the special features of bhakti yoga, is that you can't force Krishna to do anything. Krishna actually reveals himself to you according to your sincere endeavor to surrender and to become a humble servant. You know, that just like in Ashtanga yoga, it's completely different. One is depending on one's own power and one's own determination to control his own mind. There's many examples in the Bhagavatam how this doesn't work. You know, even a yogi like Vishwamitra Muni is trying to control his mind, but becomes attracted to sense pleasure and falls down from the path. So bhakti yoga is actually the safest path, pleasing Krishna, and Krishna gives us protection. But yeah, like I was saying previously, Bhishma Dev is actually seeing Krishna face to face. One time, there's a famous conversation where a journalist is asking Srila Prabhupada in a room conversation. He asks, Swamiji, can you see God? And Prabhupada replies that, yes, I see God. And one of his disciples kind of butts in, and he explains to the reporter, what he means is, you know, he's seeing everything as the arrangement of God. He's seeing everything as the energy of God. And with his intelligence, he's observing God in every form of life, within every atom. And then Prabhupada cuts him off, and he says, no, not like that. I'm actually seeing Krishna face to face. So what's the difference? Why are we not seeing Krishna? Why are we not experiencing Krishna? What's the difference between us and a devotee like Srila Prabhupada or Bhishma Dev? Of course, these are great exalted personalities, but on an absolute platform, you know, we're all jiva tattva. We all have, you know, Krishna is within everyone's heart. We all have like an eternal sarup in the spiritual world. So why can't we be on that stage? The difference is our intensity, is our determination to please the spiritual master and work intensely for his mission. And by doing that, we actually do reach these higher stages. We can experience God face to face. That's what's really amazing about our philosophy, is you don't have to wait till death to see if it's true. You can experience it today if you like. It's a matter of humility and intense hearing and chanting. So although in the battlefield, the Kurukshetra, in the middle of the battlefield, and Bhishma Dev, it says that he has so many arrows in his body that you can't even put your fingers in between the arrows, right? There's arrows all over his body. He's laying in the bed of arrows, bloody. There's a massive scene of a battlefield going on around him. There's noise, but yet Bhishma Dev is in rapt attention on Krishna, and is in such clear consciousness that he's actually giving instruction for us, ultimately. These are all pure devotees that are there, so they really don't need these instructions. But Bhagavatam is actually spoken for us, spoken for the conditioned souls. The Vedas are like a map, you know, it's like Bhagavad Gita is like a road map, how to get out of this forest of material illusion. Just like if you're stuck in a forest and it's dark and you don't know your way out, you know, the spiritual master and the Vedas work as a map and a guide to actually get out of this forest of material illusion. So the fact that Bhishma Dev was in rapt attention, although so much was going on around him, gives us a practical goal to achieve for, to strive for. And although there's so much, this, we have to understand that this world is just material energy. It's just Krishna's energy. It's atoms and molecules, earth, wind, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. So many things going on around us. But this is just, it should be superfluous to us. You know, our aim should be determined. Our aim is one, as in Bhagavad Gita explains. But although whatever goes on, a family member passes away, a bomb blows up in front of the temple, you know, car crash or whatever, our aim should be serving our spiritual master according to time, place, and circumstance and according to his instruction. That's why Prabhupada gave so much emphasis on services like book distribution. It actually, he says it's a fast track back to Godhead. So the reason for this is that it actually forces you to control your mind and senses. It forces you to go beyond this material conception of life. You know, if you actually surrender to it, you have to work hard for hours a day in the hot sun and so many crazy people or whatever. But if you're determined in that service, you have to go beyond what normal people can actually do. And the fact that you're not getting paid to do it, and you're not getting any sense gratification as a reward, actually goes to prove, you know, practically that Krishna, you can experience Krishna just through services that Srila Prabhupada has actually. I saw the other day when the Bhaktas went out on Harinam, Bhakta Josh distributed a book to a man who was eating a hamburger. He gave him a chant, "Be happy." And I could see that the next day, Josh was in like extraordinary bliss. You know, I saw him pay dandavats to Prabhupada with a big smile on his face for like 5 minutes. He was laying there and saying some prayers, you know. So this is practical proof that God exists. If you want to know that God exists, go out on book distribution and go out on Sankirtan. You can experience Krishna directly. So we're actually given the form of the highest pleasure by these Mahajans, by the Acharyas, previous Acharyas. And people are looking everywhere to experience this pleasure. They're looking for Krishna, but in all the wrong places. That's what, you know, it's a nice meditation also when we're outside, so we don't become bewildered. Krishna, or people are looking for so many wonderful, beautiful things that feel good and stimulate the senses, but this is all Krishna's energy. So they're looking for Krishna, but they're doing so through his material energy. So our path is recommended to turn to the internal energy of Krishna. So people are trying to experience higher pleasure, you know, namely through, you know, sex pleasure. It, objectively, it's just rubbing your flesh on another material body's flesh. And then when that gets bored, they try drugs or they try sex life on drugs. And when that, and they get fed up with that, they don't really have any other choice. Those are like the topmost experiences of the material world. So after that, they either like commit suicide or become like Buddhists or something, try to annihilate their existence altogether. So we actually have like a responsibility. We have the highest knowledge given by Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada, all the Acharyas, Srimad Bhagavatam, to actually go out and give people access to this higher reality, to this higher pleasure. And it's amazing, just when we go out, Krishna reveals so much to us. One time I was distributing books at a university, and I just met some innocent guy. He was a nice guy, and he asked me what my name was. So I told him Ananda, and he repeated, "Anartha?" I repeated, no, Ananda. And I was just going away, just like, wow, Krishna's using his part and parcel to reveal to me that I have a lot of work to do, you know, purify my heart from anarthas. So we have to counteract this disease. You know, the world is running full head in the wrong direction. It's like if you were, if someone was driving off, they were driving down a road, And you had full vision of the scene, and you saw that the road ends, and they're just going to drive off a cliff. You know, the nice thing to do is to try to stop the person. You know, they have no idea what's going on. They have their girlfriend, and they're driving with a cigarette in their hand. They're just going full speed, oblivious of what they're doing. And then some jubilant book distributor stops the car and tells them to take a book or something. So this is actually the real position. They're driving full head to either hellish planets, lower species of life, or just a miserable life altogether. So anyways, in the purport, Bhishma Dev describes how Bhishma Dev is so pure that he can actually choose when to leave his body. It's really amazing. Actually, it describes that also in the Bhagavad Gita that the Ashtanga yogis can, through strict discipline, can also do that. But in this case, this is Krishna's desire. Krishna actually is in charge of his devotees' lives. And he gives us exactly what we need at every single moment to advance nicely. And if we accept that with a humble attitude, you know, accepting that, you know, Krishna is so kind that he's giving me this, whatever it is, you know, this enjoyment or this difficulty in life for my own advancement, and not try to change things. You know, Krishna's given you mercy, and your mind's saying that you don't like it, and you're trying to change the situation. You don't actually get the full mercy that way. Or your spiritual master tells you to do something, but you want to do something else. You might get a little bit of mercy, because the spiritual master is all merciful, but to get the full mercy is to surrender to Krishna's program. So, it also describes, Srila Prabhupada says that a pure devotee like Bhishma Dev, he doesn't care whether he goes to hell, heaven, Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada, I think, is referring to a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto where Lord Shiva is saying that someone who's actually surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he, you know, elevation to the heavenly planets, Vaikuntha Dham, or condemnation in the hellish planets, they're all the same to him, because anywhere he goes, he's going to engage in devotional service. So, another devotee, can anyone think of another devotee who had the ability to choose to quit his body whenever he wanted? Yeah, Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya. So it's quite interesting that Bhishma Dev had the ability to leave his body whenever he wanted, and he chose to leave his body looking at Krishna. And in here it actually says the four-handed form of Narayan. But Haridas Thakur chose to leave his body looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the reason for this was Haridas Thakur was such a pure devotee that it would have broken his heart so much to see Lord Chaitanya leave the planet. So before Lord Chaitanya left the planet, he wanted to leave before, so he didn't have to be in excruciating pain. And Haridas Thakur is actually Lord Brahma, describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So quite interesting that Lord Brahma is also one of the Mahajans, as well as Bhishma Dev described in the Bhagavatam. And Lord Brahma in this universe is apparently, he is a pure devotee. And yeah, I wrote something down. It's really awesome. I found it amazing. One second. Oh yeah, here we go. So I found this quote about Lord Brahma that Srila Sridhar Swami gives evidence that Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead. So this might be confusing because in the 9th canto, there's a purport where Srila Prabhupada describes how we all come first as Lord Brahma. And there's so many different universes, and every universe has a Lord Brahma. He's like the engineer. He creates everything. So we first come as Lord Brahma because it's the closest thing we can get as God. We fall from the spiritual world to become God. Then the next best thing is Lord Brahma. You actually create the whole universe. You're on the topmost planet. You're like the highest living entity in the whole universe. This is the closest thing you can get to God. But then Sridhar Swami gives evidence that Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead. So how do we understand that? And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes how there's three different categories of Lord Brahmas. There's a Brahma with the mentality of a Karmi, and he actually doesn't attain, going back to Godhead obviously, he cycles into the 8,400,000 species of life. And then there's a Lord Brahma who has the Jnani mentality, and he, after the annihilation of the universe, he attains impersonal liberation, but ultimately has to come back. And then there's a devotee Lord Brahma who goes back to Godhead. But also in the Bhagavatam, the third canto, it describes how even the devotee Lord Brahma, if he thinks independently of Krishna and his will, or thinks momentarily that he is Krishna or the supreme controller, that he actually attains Mahavishnu's abode at the end of the annihilation, but again has to come back to this material world and attain the cycle of samsara. So we can see that even one of the Mahajans, Lord Brahma, even as a devotee, if he's thinking independently from the will of the Mahajans and the authorities of spiritual knowledge, then he too has to attain a material body. So our conclusion should be to follow the instruction of the previous Acharya. And he is explaining that we should work intensely for the mission of trying to deliver the souls of Kali Yuga. And that's what Bhishma Dev is ultimately doing. That's what the whole Bhagavatam is actually written for. That's why we distribute Bhagavatam to the conditioned souls. And in this way, we could be full of bliss, starting from chanting attentively and working hard for the mission and spiritual master. So if there's any questions or corrections, then I can try to... Yes, Brigupati Prabhu.
Thank you for a great class, very inspiring. You mentioned at one point early in the class that you read in the 11th canto, I can't remember if you mentioned it was a commentary by Sridhar Swami, that a Mahabhagava is not necessarily seeing Krishna at every moment, but he's desiring to see Krishna at every moment, correct? Yeah, but it also could be that a Mahabhagava is seeing Krishna at every moment too. It's not like there aren't Mahabhagavats that are. Because later on in the class, you gave that example, you related that anecdote where Prabhupada corrected the disciple who said that Prabhupada is not really meaning the seeing Krishna. So it sounds like both things are possible, that there could be pure devotees who are factually seeing Krishna at every moment, but it's also, if somebody's considered a Mahabhagavat, if they're in that mood of separation, as you mentioned, like the six Goswamis, where they're desiring to see Krishna at every moment. Is that the overall correct understanding, that both things are there?
Is that a question?
Yeah, that's the question. Okay.
Yes, it also describes Uttama Adhikari is seeing Krishna in the sense that he's seeing everything as Krishna's energy. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. Doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be seeing Krishna face to face, personally, at every single moment. But to label him as an Uttama Adhikari, he is qualified to see Krishna face to face, and he has the desire to see Krishna face to face. And also, it's amazing because also in the 11th canto, it describes how it gives the example of Narada Muni, that sometimes a pure devotee, because he's so engaged in Krishna's service, he'll forget Krishna personally. Just like, you know, for example, on book distribution, you know, my mentality, I'm trying to get the book to the person, trying to have him give a donation. I'm not thinking of Krishna directly, in forms of Shishu Rukmini Dwarkadish or whatever. But it describes that because of his intense service, that Krishna will arrange throughout the day for that devotee to remember him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's good.
Archdevotee.
Hare Krishna, thank you for accepting the invitation to give class and for giving a very nice class. Like everything else in our philosophy, it's not cut and dried. Sometimes the experience varies for the same individual, like Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada glorified the Goswamis, hey Rad, hey Brother Devaki, they don't claim they're seeing Krishna behind every bush in Vrindavan like some Sahajas do. They're wondering, where are you? But at the same time, they do see them from time to time. Sometimes they see them, they don't recognize them. Like when Radharani came and gave Rupa Goswami boga for making a feast with Sanatana Goswami, he didn't recognize it was Radharani. Same thing with Madhavendra Puri, when he was chanting, he was so absorbed in chanting, Krishna came with a pot of milk, he didn't recognize Krishna. So, you know, it's not cut and dry. It's not that always seeing or always not seeing, or sometimes they see, sometimes they don't see, sometimes they see, they don't recognize. It varies.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Regarding to Bhikkhu Pratipapa's question, you know, it reminds me some senior devotee was telling me that when Srila Prabhupada was chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, many times, you know, he will see Krishna face to face. Because in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna has put all the energies, like his spiritual energy, his pastimes, his form, in the Mahamantra. So when Prabhupada is chanting, you know, it's completely different from our chanting. So that's, you know, is that true or not, you know?
Yeah, I mentioned that also previously, that the difference between like a new bhakta and someone on the level of Prabhupada is, when a new bhakta is chanting, we're doing the same activities of a pure devotee. We're chanting, we're hearing Krishna Leela, seeing the deities, but we're experiencing something different. You know, the neophyte devotee is doing that for his own purification, whereas, you know, Mahabhagava is doing it out of ecstasy. And we're doing it as regulative principles, where we have a prescribed number of rounds we chant, we have prescribed services, whereas someone on the level of Prabhupada is not going to fall down if he doesn't chant 16 rounds, but he wants to chant because he's relishing Krishna. So, does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the great class. So throughout, I actually have two questions. The first one, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see the associates of Lord Chaitanya are connected with Krishna in past leelas, like Ramanand Roy is Arjuna, so on and so forth. So my question is, in the Gaura Gaudeshta Pikya, do you know what they say about Bhishma Dev? If Bhishma Dev is existing in Chaitanya in Gaura Leela? No?
Do you know?
I don't. That's why I was asking.
Archita Prabhu probably knows.
No. And then my second question is more of a practical question, and it's how do we deepen our attachment to Sankirtan in book distribution?
All right. Wow. Thank you for that question. That's my field of activity. Okay. Yeah. So I can say that by reading what Prabhupada has to say about Sankirtan, book distribution, and also it might sound fruitive, but this is what I do, and it helps, is I make goals for myself. You know, like on the World Sankirtan newsletter, you can see how many books you've done and throughout the years, and I try to beat myself. So I have to get like almost 4,000 book points every month this year until December, and then December do like 6,000 or 7,000 book points, and I could beat my record if I do that. So that helps, because it might seem passionate. It probably is passionate, but it gets me fired up to do it. And also doing it as a duty mode, because, you know, to go on for, I've only been doing it for a few years, but someone like Vijay or Sachi Tonoi or Brigapati Prabhu, I'm sure they can confirm this. They do it in duty mode, because no matter what the mind and the senses say, because the mind's always flickering, telling you to do, actually in the neophyte stage, our mind usually our worst enemy. Basically, almost for the neophyte, whatever your mind tells you to do, just do the complete opposite, and you'll be in a good standing. So if your mind is telling you not to go out on book distribution, that means you probably should. And to do it in duty mode, no matter what happens with your mind and your senses or your thoughts, just go out there and get purified. And by doing that, one gets purified. His consciousness becomes purified. And just like we were saying earlier, how Prabhupada, when he chants, compared to someone in sadhana bhaktis, when he's chanting, he's experiencing something different. So in the same way as a new devotee, we're doing it for purification, although we get glimpses of a higher taste. But someone who's been doing it for a long time, they're doing it out of ecstasy. You know, they're doing it out of, they're getting a higher taste every day. Does that answer your question? Okay. Gauranga Prema Prabhu.
You know, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he writes that Bhishmadev can understand that the two-armed form of Lord Krishna is actually the source of the four-armed, you know, Narayan form. But, you know, he is still attracted by the four-armed form. So is that means the two-armed form of Lord Krishna is less attractive to him? Can you give a little bit more explanation about this?
Yeah. So yeah, it describes in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form of Vishnu Tattva. And Narayan is actually an expansion of Krishna. But just like there was one devotee in Chaitanya Leela, Murari Gupta, he was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Chaitanya actually instructed him, because Murari Gupta was chanting the names of Ram, because he was attracted to that form of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya was explaining this, what I just said to you about how Krishna is the original form of Narayan and Lord Ramachandra. So you should give up this chanting of Lord Ramachandra and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Murari Gupta tried to do this. He was trying to follow the order of Lord Chaitanya, and he was trying to chant Krishna's name instead of Ram. But he actually became depressed from doing that. He was crying all night, and then the next day he just told Lord Chaitanya, "I can't do it. I'm in so much love. I have so much love for Lord Ramachandra. I can't give up this form in my heart." So in the same way, different devotees are attracted to different forms. Although technically Krishna is the form, is the original form of all these incarnations, different devotees have, Krishna has four things. Okay, Narayan has all 60 qualities of Vishnu, but Krishna has an extra four, and those are his loving pastimes with his devotees, his beauty, what else? His abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and his flute. Is that correct? So,
what was Lord Chaitanya's response? Did he chastise Murari Gupta? What happened?
No, he actually said that's okay, that you should worship Lord Ramachandra. He actually wrote on his forehead, Ram, also, on his forehead. Yeah, incarnation of Hanuman. Just like we hear also, Madhurya Leela is the highest platform of love of God, but Bhishmadev was in, it seems like, the mood of servitude. Yeah. And same with Arjuna. You know, although these pure devotees, it doesn't mean that they're not pure devotees because they're attracted to another form of Krishna or Narayan or not on the stage of Madhurya Leela. We should still understand that there's different tastes. So.
The other day when Bhakti Chiru Maharaj was here, this was the point of this class, is that whatever rasa a particular living entity has with Krishna, they see it as the most perfect for them. And it doesn't get any higher than the particular taste that they're in.
Yeah. Okay.
So if that's the case, though, why was Lakshmi Devi desiring to enter into the rasa dance? Why wasn't she content with her rasa as of reverence? And why was she desiring, and why was she unsuccessful? But you could take one part at a time.
Yeah, okay, that's beyond my realization. But I do know from what I've read, so Lakshmi Devi wanted to enter into the rasa dance because that's the highest, you know, Madhurya love. And Krishna with the gopis and Srimati Radharani is the highest. And Lakshmi Devi is in the mood of servitude, actually. She, in Vaikuntha, there's a sense of awe and reverence where you don't associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead intimately. But in Goloka Vrindavan, it's a special flavor because you can actually intermingle with the Personality of Godhead as a friend, you know, as a lover. In such a sense where you can actually jump on Krishna's back when you're playing with him and wrestle with Krishna. In Vaikuntha, That's unheard of. You can't do that. So Lakshmi Devi, being a pure devotee, she can understand that this is actually the highest rasa, is the rasa dance. So she wanted to experience that. But also, Lakshmi Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So it's quite interesting. But it also describes that Lakshmi Devi wasn't given access into the rasa dance because of her mood of awe and reverence. And that doesn't belong anywhere in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna actually enjoys the intimacy with his pure devotees.
Thank you.
Does that satisfy your answer? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.